Hey, it's Eric G. Around the House is sponsored by Baldwin Hardware. For 75 years, Baldwin Hardware has been known for its first-class quality and craftsmanship in door and cabinetry hardware. As an alumnus of the Baldwin Hardware Design Council, I can say I have seen the details and quality from design to the finished product. If you're looking for a new style and old-world craftsmanship, I can tell you there is only one Baldwin Hardware. Check out what would look great in your home at baldwinhardware.com.
Get you on the radio, yeah, you gotta get on the radio. If the kids can only hear you, they go out of control. You gotta get on the radio. You want the money and the fame and the sold-out shows, and you gotta get
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. We are your guide, your owner's manual to your home. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
All right. Well, if you missed the first hour of the show, the first one here, we talked about a bunch of different things, including what's that smell? Don't want to miss that. So if you missed it, go back and catch the podcast anywhere you catch your podcast, or just head over to aroundthehouseonline.com or hit us up on Facebook, Around the House with Eric G.
We also want to answer any of your home improvement questions here in the studio and get you out on the radio. Our number here in this room where we are right now is 971-233-8992. You're going to give us a call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Doesn't matter if you're listening in the middle of the night to the podcast and you're like, oh, I just thought of this question. Give us a call. That's fine. Leave us a message. We'll probably call you back the next day.
Yeah.
And record out, and we can take the time we need, record, hear about your whole project, what you got going on, and be able to answer it in a, thorough manner.
Exactly. So that's one of those things that we're here to help you. And when you help other people as well by asking those questions, because there's going to be somebody else that has that same exact question, so you might as well ask it.
You're not the only one that's dealing with this issue, I'll tell you that.
Absolutely. Now, this last week we had a question on Around the House Nation that kind of helped inspire this. I had it written down for the show this week anyway, but it was a Nation question that I was like, all right, this is a good one. So I wanted to bring this in. So I wanted to talk a little bit about DIY basement waterproofing and foundation repair.
Okay.
Because we had this great question, the concrete, and I'll paint the picture here. Especially here in the Northwest, we saw a lot about this. Maybe not so much in other areas, but it depends on the sand that they were using when they made this concrete. So a lot of times back in the 20s, 30s, really 20s and 30s, when they were making concrete here in the Northwest, they didn't use the right sand. They just grabbed sand out of a sand area. Wasn't washed sand, so it didn't end up being the strongest because it could have had salt in it, could have had anything else in it. And so that meant for a weaker concrete that as time goes on, it tended to crumble and fall apart a little bit.
A little bit more brittle.
A little more brittle, and it would actually just flake. I mean, I have gone up to this stuff, and I could probably, with my bare hands, dig through the concrete.
Over time or
no, no.
Easily.
I mean, I could sit there in 10 minutes, dig a hole through their foundation with my hands, just picking and peeling.
Yeah. And what's that say for the they're not massive, but heavy house that you have sitting on top of that concrete?
Not a good problem. Not a good thing. So, those are things that you got to be careful with. Now, when you get to that extreme sense, that is something where you need to probably bring the professional in. If you've got it where you've got, more than a third of that foundation gone, that's when I recommend pouring in a new interior foundation. So you don't have to jack the house up. None of that stuff. None of that stuff. You can live in the house while they do this, in most cases. But they go in and they pour an interior foundation wall, another 6-inch wall on the inside of it. So you have an engineer draw it up and they pour that on the inside. And so you do lose a foot out of the inside. But you didn't really have to do all that other stuff. You probably had to move some plumbing, maybe move some heating and cooling. And some electrical, but really in your basement, it gives you a brand new foundation and you just abandon the other one. Now it's just twice as thick. Doesn't really matter.
Now you're just adding. You're not taking anything away. You're making the structure even more sound.
Now you've got something that's going to be, when it's all tied in together, they use the right straps. You've got something that's also fairly earthquake resistant compared to the old house, that when you have a house of that era, it's just literally sitting on the foundation. There's no mechanical connection between that foundation and the home. It's the weight of the home holding it there. So you've got a bunch of different things that are going on, especially in seismic areas like we have, for instance.
Yes, absolutely.
In many cases, a lot of places around the country do. It's just depending on, you know, when they have them. So that's one of the things. But really, when it comes down to this, you got to take a look and assess what you have going on. Now, if you've got water in the basement, that's one subject that you can do. Now, I'll tell you that about 60, in my experience, 60% or so of water in the basement or crawl space problems tie directly into
gutters.
Gutters.
I knew it.
Downspouts, and having that water drop right next to the foundation. I want to see a good gutter system on. I want to see the downspouts. I want to see the downspouts going into a storm drain system that at least gets, you know, 12, 14, 16 feet that water discharging away from the foundation and downhill from the house. I have literally sat there and watched people that had a sump pump in the basement, and I've been out looking at water in their basement, and the water's running like a hose into the basement. I walked over and I unplugged the pump. And they're like, oh, what are you doing? I'll plug it back in. Give me a second. About 30 seconds, the pump stops because they were pumping the water out of their sump pump in the basement. It went out 3 feet into the yard.
They weren't running it anywhere.
They have the world's most expensive fountain. It was just circling.
Yeah, it's cycling over just and over
all
again.
All the way through. Run back into the dirt, in the pathway, going back down, and that's what happened. So you got to be careful of that as well. You want that water to go well away from the house. And, of course, outside needs to be graded away from the house. Well, the other thing you can do now, if you've got a crack in your foundation. So let's say you've got a crack in that foundation down there. And first off, you need to figure out why you've got a crack in the foundation. Now, concrete is always going to crack. But what happens is when you get one crack in the foundation, it's almost like having a picture frame that's broken. If that corner has come loose on a picture frame, it wobbles around a lot. And yeah. So that corner is going to grind itself. And you can tell a new crack from the old crack by just how sharp the corners are on it. If it's a new crack, and they're usually around, you know, cracks in the foundation are usually around openings first. Okay. So if you've got a window or a vent or something like that, a doorway, that's usually the weak point to do that. Now, many times when it comes down to it, that foundation crack many times is just going to happen naturally and it's not that big a deal. But if you've got that clay soil, for instance, that you got to think of clay soil around your house like a sponge. When it dries up, it gets, you know, you get the cracks in the ground. You see the desert cracks in the dirt. Well, that's the clay shrinking down and cracking.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is if your house is sitting on that kind of soil, it's the house moving. And then what happens when you get it wet again and the rains hit or a storm hits?
It expands.
Expands again. So now that foundation's just grinding on itself, and that gets that. So that's when you want to go in there and clean that up and patch it up. Now, can you hire a company to do it? Absolutely. Can you make this a DIY project? Absolutely. So what you do is for really getting in there and doing this type of repair, if you're handy, this is for you because it's going to take some materials.
This is some work.
This is some work, and you got to be safe about it too. You know, concrete dust, when you're working on these projects, is filled with silica. That causes silicosis. That can cause you to be in the hospital pretty quickly. So you got to be careful with silica dust. I know people go, it's beach sand. Well, guess what? You're not breathing beach sand.
Yeah, you're not grinding up beach sand into a small little particle and breathing it in all the time.
So really now, that's why you don't see anymore on these big public projects. If you're driving around, you used to see 10 years ago, you'd see a guy out there cutting a concrete like the sidewalk. Dust flying everywhere.
Yeah.
Nobody cared. No, bandana around their mouth. Not anymore.
Because everything those people had issues.
Yeah, those people were getting silicosis. So now what you have to do is whenever you're creating concrete dust, whether you're chipping, grinding, that kind of stuff, it's got to be wet. And you've also got to have a dust extraction system. So now when you see foundation contractors working on your foundation, they're having to use these new things to meet the new OSHA silica rules.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of, from what I understand, like additional things you can put on your saw or whatnot to keep it all self-contained.
Absolutely. So if you've got a water saw where you're cutting concrete, there's just a hose attachment to it. That's great. Now, if you're chipping concrete or you're drilling, now there's a vacuum attachment that goes to a HEPA vacuum. It turns on with the vacuum. And as soon as you hit the trigger on that, it turns on and you're off and going.
Yep.
It triggers it and off you go. That can be pretty cool. That also keeps that dust out. So that's the key to all of these things is keeping that dust down. And if you're hiring somebody, I don't want to see any dust flying around.
No, absolutely not. Big red flag.
Yeah. I don't care if they're cutting stone. I don't care what they're doing. If you're seeing, you know, granite, concrete, any of that stuff, and there's dust flying around, that's an OSHA violation right there in any state in the union because it's a federal thing.
Well, and you're paying these people to do this job. They better be doing it right.
Yep. And we had Mark Luzon on here, geez, a couple years ago. I had him call into the show real quick because he's a big granite expert out there. Long story short, he got caught. He was watching. He didn't get caught. He actually caught people.
I was going to say, he saw someone. Yeah,
yeah. He pulled up in front of his house, neighbor across the street, two hacks out there grinding away on this countertop, cutting away from this countertop fabricator.
Right in his driveway.
And yep. He lost it. He was shooting video. He sent it to me, posted up on Facebook. And Mark was hammering on them, and rightfully so. That's just one of those things that you got to be super careful with because I've seen plenty of people get nailed by even hiring the wrong company. And all of a sudden, they've got an OSHA complaint, and they've got the that inspector, whether it's state or federal, knocking on the door going, I heard you had some concrete dust over here. I've seen it happen, and it's something that's going to be a big, big problem. So we'll talk a little bit more about how do you stop that leak in your basement. We'll do that just as soon as Around the House returns. Summer next to
Bakersfield with a fancy car. What's up? This is Stick
and Satchel from Steel Panther, and you are listening to
Around the House with Eric G.
Yeah.
We love Eric G, and you should too.
I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
Make sure you hit us up on Facebook, Around the House with Eric G. And make sure wherever you listen to our podcast that you like, subscribe, give us some reviews too. I'd love to see that as well. But if you subscribe, it'll show you the stuff that happens during the week that you might be missing. We've got the midweek special. If you're a contractor, we've got the Pro Insider. All that stuff's right there for you to take a listen to.
This show goes all week long.
It does, and there's so many new things that come up on social media as well, Facebook, all that. And after this segment here, we'll talk about my kitchen project that I'm working
on.
Yeah,
buddy.
Give you a big update on that one. A
couple weeks on working away on that. We do say that we are your owner's manual for your home, but we have over 1,000 episodes, so we may have hit something, or, you know, we may not be talking about something this week, but check out the podcast, because we talk about different things every single week, and sure that we probably have what you're looking for there on the podcast.
It's in the archive there someplace, I can guarantee it. Well, we've been talking about, you know, doing DIY basement waterproofing and foundation stuff here, And you know, it's always good to hire the professionals, but if you think you want to tackle it, awesome. I will tell you, though, I saw somebody that had hired, and I'm not going to name names here because I don't want to go after any companies and take any shots at people here, but there's a couple franchises around the country that have a trough system that they put in the basement to collect water. So if you've got a leaky basement, you call into these waterproofing companies, and it's like a plastic gutter that they go around and either chip out or basically put this 6-inch trench around the perimeter, and it goes into a sump pump.
Now, okay? So again, I don't know much about this, but to me, this sounds like you're not fixing the problem. You're putting a Band-Aid on it.
That's why I don't like that.
Okay, so that is kind of what you're saying here, because that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, and so here's what's happened, and here's the secondary reason I don't like this. I don't like it from an engineering standpoint. And here's why. If you think about this and you've just gone around your entire floor and took out a 6-inch chunk all the way around the perimeter,
mm-hmm.
right? That basement floor is what's keeping those footings and the base of your wall from kicking in.
Secured and
it's intact, got the floor locked in. So any of that ground pressure from outside, when it pushes in, there's no place to go.
Well, now you've given it somewhere to go.
Now you've given it someplace to go, so I'm not a fan of that. Now, here's the problem. This was an old 1920s farmhouse that had significant exterior water issues.
Okay.
And so this franchise came in, put it in, did their thing. I started looking at it, and I had my flashlight. I had my inspection camera. Started looking at it. The guy's like, yeah, I'm on my fourth sump pump because I keep getting dirt and gravel in that trough. My first question is, you got dirt and gravel? Where's that coming from? They had so much water intrusion around the entire house. I walked around this unfinished basement, put my inspection cam in the gap between the floor and the bottom of the foundation wall.
Yeah.
There was a 12 by 12 void under every bit of that house.
Wow.
So what happened is they tried to solve the water problem. This foundation was freaking floating on air. The only thing holding this house from settling a foot was the tension of the soil up against the outside of the foundation.
So basically compressing it in
but keeping
it's not
it.
On anything.
No. That and a little bit of support from the two posts on the inside of the house. So, yeah. So here's the problem. If that house slid down, you've got a beam down the middle of the house, right? Old farmhouse. What's going to happen? It's going to taco this house from the inside up. Because now it's going to be like putting a jack to the inside of the house. If the house settled evenly.
Everything's falling down through the middle, but the sides are going to stay there because they're pressured there. So it's
well,
just gonna...
the sides are going to move down. If the outside settles, the middle is supported by posts into the floor. It's not moving. So now you've got basically the center of the house that's being pushed up 12 inches. It's done.
Big problem.
And I felt bad for this guy, and I'm like, I didn't have a solution for him. I said, you know, I would call an engineer and get him out here very quickly. Like pay what it's gonna take, and
it's gonna be a bit. You're gonna pay
a
bit.
Yeah, I would be concerned about staying in this house, because all it takes is a heavy rain or something like that. I don't know. I can't predict what could happen, but
it's
tell
not
you what,
gonna take much.
You've got gas and electrical and water. It could go very badly. Dropping a house 12 inches in the middle of the night,
you're not gonna want to be in there.
No. No, people get hurt doing that. So I felt bad for the guy, and I was like, get that and get a good attorney.
Sorry,
you know, can't fix that. So this is where you got to be very careful with some of this stuff. Now, there are things you can do, and Rhino is a company that has materials out there, and they're Rhino Carbon Fiber. You can look them up. They're not a sponsor of the show or anything, but these guys are really cool, and rhinocarbonfiber.com. They've got all the materials that you can order online to do crack repair. You can do polyurethane injection foam, which is what they do is you fill this crack. We'll talk about this quickly when we get back because this is an important one. We'll talk about some of these things. You can actually inject polyurethane into the crack from the inside, and when it hits the moist ground on the outside, it expands out like spray foam. And blocks the water from coming back.
Covers all that negative space.
Yeah, so it just fills that up, and it fills up all those areas. And so now it doesn't come back in, which is really cool. So these guys, I ran into them years ago at the Kitchen & Bath Construction Show, and now they've got some products for your projects out there for fixing that broken foundation or the one that leaks. And that's a big one. We'll talk more about that just as soon as Around the House returns.
Hey, this is Ron Keel, the metal cowboy from Keel, the Ron Keel Band and Steeler. We are rocking Around the House with Eric G.
Raise your fist, make your stand.
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is your home improvement source every weekend. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
Man, time's going fast in this show. We got a lot to cover still.
We haven't even gotten to your project yet.
I know. We'll get to that in a minute. I want to finish up on this this little one. But hey, if you got any questions about the stuff we're talking about today, hit us up on Facebook, Around the House with Eric G. And if you're shy, You can also message us over at AroundTheHouseOnline.com. That's our one-stop shop from everything from the podcast to the Pro Insider podcast, our store, what stations we're at, and, of course, the phone numbers to give us a call.
Absolutely. For those of you who are definitely not shy, give us a call here in the studio. That way we can get you out on the radio. Our number, 971-233-8992.
All right. Well, we've been talking, kind of patching up that foundation. So one of my favorite products that I actually use, and, again, they're not paying me a dime to say this, it's just a product I use for doing concrete repair on a foundation wall, is made by Rapid Set. You can get it like Home Depot and certain stores like that. But it's called Cement All. So just Cement All.
Okay.
This stuff is really cool. If you clean up that area where you've got a crack, you know, chip out the loose stuff, get it ground out, do it safely. You mix up the Cement All almost to the consistency of like a thick peanut butter where you can actually make a ball out of it, right?
Like almost a putty?
Almost a putty. The cool thing is this stuff feathers out really nicely, so you can jam that in the area of where the crack's going to be, which is really cool. That does a great job of patching up areas like that. One of the secrets, though, with it is you want to wet the concrete first. Spray it down, get it damp, because that dry concrete sucks the moisture out and it won't adhere correctly. So follow the directions on the bag, of course, but that's one way to do it. Now, we were talking about different products out there. What you can do when you're talking about these repair products, there's carbon fiber, which is the king of basement, foundation, concrete repair. It's mm-hmm. what they fix bridges and buildings and everything else with on the commercial side of things. So carbon fiber in an epoxy, you can do massive things with this. I have watched repairs done on a basement wall with a horizontal crack, that left to right, right to left crack that goes across the wall where it's bending in the middle.
It's looking that sketchy.
It is sketchy. And you can run horizontal, like 9-12-inch strips of carbon fiber from the ceiling down to the floor after you've repaired it. And that'll hold it in and it won't go any farther.
Let's grip it together.
Yeah, yeah, it just helps strap that together. It's like putting steel there. Works really well. It's a cost-effective kind of solution to fix that. And so they make that. If you've got that smaller crack, maybe it's just that little kind of small hairline crack, can't stick a credit card in it kind of thing, they make what they call concrete staples. What are concrete staples? They're about a, basically a little bar of carbon fiber that has little dumbbells on the end, little round, like half-inch round bars on the end.
Okay.
What you do is you go in there and grind a little thin cut in the concrete. Drill out the little areas where the barbell's in on each side of the crack, embed that in epoxy, and that staples it back together. So now that has made that foundation one. Then it's filled with epoxy over the top. You can throw some gray paint over the top of it so you don't see the black epoxy. Yeah. It looks good. You're good to go. That is a wonderful way to do it. Now, other companies do make the epoxy stuff as well. You know, I do love Rhino. Simpson Strong Tie does. They're another company that I've used materials in. They both do lots of different stuff out there. So you can get this from different people. But really, using that epoxy with the carbon fiber is a killer way to go. And I think that's the way to get a really good repair with that. Now, we were talking about, you've seen if you go into the home centers, they have the anchoring epoxy for putting bolts and things into concrete. That works well. But you really want to use the carbon fiber for, you know, if you've got a, maybe you've got a post or something that's concrete that's having problems. Again, you'll see them wrap that stuff with it. But one thing to think about is the polyurethane injection foam. One thing to think about with the, you know, using the crack lock type stuff or the carbon fiber, they're both great ways to do it. Now, carbon fiber, you got to think about it, comes in two different ways. It's meant strength-wise. You need to do your research on what you do. They have unidirectional, where the strength is only one direction.
Okay.
So that really, it's like a rubber band this way. It's really tight one way, but and then they make unidirectional. So follow your instructions. Find out which way you're trying to do this. You need to figure out which way the load is. And maybe that takes a structural engineer to come in and tell you what product to use. When in doubt with big cracks, have a structural engineer come in. Whether you're doing it yourself or hiring somebody, have them come in and do the calculations and tell you what major repair you should do. That way you've got them signing off with the proper solution. And it might save you money anyway, because you might go in and throw everything at it and go, wow, I need
that
two
didn't
strips.
Work.
Well, or worse, I needed, well, that's bad. But worse on your pocketbook is when you go through and throw thousands of dollars of material at it when you could have fixed it for a few hundred bucks.
Yep. And that's then at the very end, you're taking out the $1,000 worth of material because it's probably not working right,
it's,
or you didn't,
yeah,
get the
you
right
just didn't
one.
Do it right. So you just make sure that you've got the right products going in there. So that's the key right there. You can sidestep that. And, you know, that's why those guys went to college for structural engineering.
Absolutely.
It's not that simple looking at it going, oh, it's going to push this way. No. Some of these products are going more than one way, and it's a lesson that you got to learn the hard way. So it's one of those things. Be really careful with what product you're using. And that's a key. Now, there are other things that you can take a look at out there. So if you've got that wall that's crumbling, like we talked about in the first segment,
yeah,
where it's just falling apart. So you got two different options there. You've got that new interior foundation, which is a very cost-effective way of doing it. You can have people come in and they put up rebar and they shotcrete, where they spray the concrete on there. And there's a new product out that's been out for a couple of years now called FRCM.
I have no idea what that is.
Exactly. It's a fibrous cementous carbon fiber mesh, basically. So what you do is you've got this stuff that looks, it's carbon fiber mesh. So it's like a hardware cloth.
Okay.
Mesh, strong. So what they do is they spray on this mixture of carbon fiber and cement, basically. It's much more detailed than that. They spray on like a half inch or a 3/8 inch thick of material on this wall. They put the carbon fiber mesh in there. Yep,
lay that over top.
Spray it out. Get it pushed in and spray this over the top of this. And so that basically replaces that new 6 inches of foundation. Just as strong.
Wow. I mean, just to think that just I haven't seen it, so I don't know what it looks like. So when I say, but it's if it's like a sheet of mesh,
yeah,
that goes into
it's
it.
It's a sheet
impressive.
Of mesh when it goes in there. So
just to say that, just to help with your foundation, that's impressive.
Yeah, and so when it's all said and done, you've got this cool finish on there that you can do stuff with. Where this is really good. Now, this stuff is not easy to deal with. This is not a DIY friendly. I have played around with this stuff. It is super cool. It is a pain.
I was going to say, it seems like super finicky to install.
You have no idea. I've spent hours with a pump playing with a foundation contractor trying to make that work.
Just trying to get it in and get it set and get it to where it's supposed to
go.
No,
it's just trying to get the pump to spray the dang stuff.
Oh, wow. So every piece of this is...
It's hard and it's labor intensive. I mean, you've got to have 10 guys in that basement. But here's where this stuff is brilliant. Commercial building, brick. Residential buildings, brick.
Mm-hmm.
Concrete block. If you want to put that on the inside for earthquakes...
Structural integrity, yeah.
Man, this is made for putting into a building that you're trying to save, that you're trying to do a structural, you know, upgrade
for
an earthquake.
Old masonry for old...
Oh, yeah. It's brilliant. You can do it without messing up with the outside, so it still looks like beautiful brick. Still
and
looks
have
like,
it good to go from the inside.
Yeah, good to inside. You know, if you're going to finish it anyway, can't tell the difference. It's great for that. So all those unreinforced masonry buildings, yep, and in that, it's a perfect solution that's hundreds of thousands of dollars cheaper than some of the other solutions. So it's smart for saving people that way. But hard to work with.
It's finicky.
Oh,
to say the least.
Brutal, but it's good. It's good stuff. It's just not, there's a long learning curve to that stuff. So the moral of the story is there's a lot of different solutions out there.
What's best for you?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. And one thing to take a look at too is if you've got something that's settling, they make helical piers, which can be about $2,500 a pop. And you might need 3, 4, 6, 8 of these things or more. Oof. They actually they're like a big corkscrew and it drills down into the soil and they attach it to the plate on the outside of your foundation. So if you've got a house that's sinking on one side or moving or things like that, or that chimney that's pulling away from the house, they can come in the back of that and then they can actually jack a little bit off of those to do that.
And get it back level.
Yeah, I had a house that was in the West Hills here. If you listen to Everclear, you'll know what I'm talking about. But it's one of those things that they're one of those hillside houses and the
yep.
driveway was cantilevered over this canyon. And the post, they put telephone poles into the ground. was rotten. So we were having to put those just to give it a place to jack because they had poured concrete over the top of that, and that concrete driveway was cantilevered over the side. So we had to just, we had to put some of those in just to give, so we could pour a pad just to put jacks on the hillside because there was no way.
Wow.
It was all you could do to stand there. It was 60 feet down. So those are things that you have to do on these big, big projects. And those, I had engineering drawings for that one too, which you got to do. All right, we'll talk about my project around the house with Jess. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is your home improvement source every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
Well, man, we've been talking about foundations and all these stuff today. It's been a great show.
It's been a good show, especially kind of getting back to basics, just you and I. And we'll have some more interviews coming up. But
Absolutely.
Kind of going old school today.
Yeah, we are. I like it. So one thing I want to talk about is my project.
You've got a couple, but I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah,
the big
I got
one.
A big kitchen refresh we're doing right now. This is a big one. And I had a couple little knee walls and stuff that we removed, so nothing huge, nothing structurally, but really just changing the whole entire vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're really diving into that. And what am I doing this weekend? Installing my cabinets.
All right. So that you're that's a big step to get back to some sort of normalcy there.
Yeah. We got the Z-Line appliances are in, which if you look around the area here, we've got a nice big pile of appliances behind you.
Over the last couple of weeks, we've had some appliances coming and going from the studio. Here.
It's been looking at a dishwasher behind him and everything else. And so, yeah, we've got cabinets going installed, so I'll be doing some live videos and stuff over the weekend here, so make sure you tune into that when you keep that. I'll be jamming on that. And thanks to my friends over at Ridgecrest Custom Cabinetry. Those guys are great guys.
And you are somebody who have worked with cabinets for decades, so you know a good product when you see it.
I do, and what I like about these guys, sorry, homeowners, they do sell to builders only, and so that's my only little thing. But if you're building a house in the Portland area, these guys are pretty awesome. So I've worked with them for years. I used to be an old dealer of theirs years ago in Seattle when I lived up there. So I used to sell a ton of that stuff up there. So I know these guys. I know them well. And we partnered up on this project here, but super excited to all our partners on this. So I've got the Ridgecrest Cabinetry going in, and then the new DuPont Corian Endura countertops are going on. And people are like, what's that? That is the new porcelain slab countertops going in.
Ooh, look forward to seeing
those.
And
it's going
to
be cool. So the kitchen's going to have a concrete-looking countertop, but it's like just about heat-proof as far as how it goes. It's the most durable countertop, you know, that you can put in a kitchen like that, and it's going to be awesome. So think about it. It's just one big slab piece of porcelain going in there. Of course, then we've got my Z-Line appliances that are going in there, which are going to be
range
super awesome. So going to be awesome with that. So this is definitely going to be the designer kitchen that you can cook in. And we're going to have a lot of fun with that. We got so many great partners on this. I'm looking forward to my Waterstone faucet showing up here.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. I remember we talked about them a few weeks back.
Oh, yeah.
You showed me some of the pictures of the stuff they do. Man, just kind of steampunk-esque, just really cool fixtures.
And then I've got the Buster and Punch going in there. Those guys are awesome. That is just super fun stuff. And then the next thing that you and I haven't talked about is the new backsplash tile going in here from Z Collection. This is going to be fun. It's a Portland tile company that we'll be doing an interview with one of these days here.
Cool.
Bringing her on. She owns Z Collection, and we'll be bringing her on the show to talk a little bit about tile, something we haven't done before.
We haven't really touched. We've done a little bit on grouting and sealing and whatnot, but we really haven't dived into tile. So,
and we'll do later on here. We'll be bringing on my buddy William. Him and I grew up together. I've known him since I was probably 10 or 12. So we'll be bringing him on.
Go back a little bit.
We go back a little bit. We're going to bring him on and talk. when we start doing tile here, I'll be bringing him on, and we'll be talking grout, heated floors, how to do heated floors, the right way to do a shower. He is an expert on tile, so he'll be one of our experts we bring in. We got a few tile experts out there that have come on the show, him and Mike, but we're going to be having some fun with that. So got some cool stuff, got some new lighting in there too now. So we've got a lot of cool things happening with this. It's going to be a lot of fun. And you guys tune in. We're going to do a lot of videos with this stuff too.
Yeah. And to keep up to date with Eric's projects, always make sure to follow the social media, specifically Around the House with Eric G on Facebook and Around the House Nation. Those are going to be the two places that I know for sure that I can go for to get an update on Eric's projects.
Absolutely. It'll all be right there so we can have a good time with it. But coming up after that, we'll be doing the bathroom upgrade as well.
Yeah. I know that you've put... you know, dipped your big toe into your bathroom, but you really haven't, you want to get the kitchen done first.
Yeah, before. I just got that kind of, I got some things set up there how I want to, but, you know, kind of planning stages for that. That, want to get one project done, then move on to the next one.
Hey, don't discount it. You know better than most that the planning stage is one of the most important stages in the project.
You know, it really is. And if you make that mistake, you've got a problem.
You typically don't make that mistake many times before you learn from it.
No, and I've actually, right now we've got things temped up in the kitchen there. I've got, you know, range and everything's in there, sink's still in there. Everything's working in the kitchen, but there's just no cabinets holding anything up.
Yeah, and then counter space is
Got old display cabinets that were out of my old showroom that are holding up the sink cabinet.
That you were talking about getting rid of, I think, when we were talking off air a couple weeks ago. You're like, oh, it's probably nice that you have those now.
Yeah, I've been using those just to get us through, but, you know, got some new lights in. We'll be talking lighting again here soon because there's some really cool stuff up there with lights now. I put in some new LEDs that I think, they're dimmable. So when I dim the lights down, they change the color temperature so they act like an incandescent light bulb. You know how when you take an incandescent light bulb and you dim it,
you can make it a more warm effect.
Yeah, so these do that. So that's going to be a fun discussion there as well. And just kind of finding all these new things, you know. I did that video a few weeks ago where we found in the ceiling, found that, carpenter ant problem that, got that long ago fixed. But all those little things, and I pulled the ceiling down in areas so I could make sure and insulate the pipes that were going up to the bathroom for the hot water. Just some of those energy-saving tips that you can do while you're at it. And, those little details that make a big difference just on keeping the house more energy efficient and just a quieter house altogether. You throw some, if you've got plumbing in a wall, one thing to do for keeping things quiet is you can actually put in some insulation around that to maybe not hear that toilet flush so much.
Deaden the noise a little bit.
Deaden the noise a little bit. That's an important one to do. So that's kind of where we're at in the kitchen. Just stay tuned on Facebook Around the House with Eric G. We'll talk a little bit more next weekend with some updates, but listen to some weekly updates on this, and then we'll be touring some new people through that we're working with. And anytime that I find new products like that, I want to share them up with you guys because some of these things are kind of crazy. Some of these things are cool technology. Sometimes it might just be great for your home too. All right, you know what time it is.
It's time to wrap it up.
It is. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vauder.
And you've been listening
to Around the House.
Around the House with Eric G is produced by Designed by Eric G in association with Salem Media and distributed nationally by the Sun Broadcast Group. All rights reserved. Copyright 2020 Designed by Eric G. We will be back next week. If you missed part of the show, check out the podcast of all of our shows at aroundthehouseonline.com. Remember, measure with a micrometer, mark with caulk, and cut with an axe. Thanks for listening to Around the House.
Hey, it's Eric G from Around the House. Are you planning a decking or siding project this year? If you are, you've got to check out my friends at Millboard. Millboard is a completely different kind of composite decking and cladding that enhances outdoor spaces with enduring distinction. Hand molded from the finest oak, it realistically mimics the natural grain and color of premium hardwood. If you're looking for something that doesn't look like plastic and instead real wood, check out Millboard.com. Make sure and check out that interview we did just a few weeks back. That's Millboard.com.